Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, October 13th, and it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you, sir?
Doing well as well.
Good, good. What do you have for us this week?
Well, we had a good number of articles again last week. I'll start out with one that I think is a guest article submitted by Pastor Ned Murby of Oklahoma. And we always, you know, we leave it open to people to submit articles if they want to speak to, you know, especially a lot of times these come in relation to current news. And so he wrote an article in relation to the Supreme Court's refusal to hear the cases about marriage. And this, of course, opened up the avenue for gay marriage to happen in a lot of states. And this non-decision, or this decision not to hear the case anyway, let the appellate court's decisions to stand. And Pastor Morby actually does a good job of describing kind of a neat way of thinking about it. He talks about, you know, what do we do now? And there are a range of suggestions of practices about the church and weddings. You see, you know, pastors act as agents of the church in performing a wedding, but they also act as agents of the state. Actually, in a lot of places, they'll have to sign the forms, and they have to make sure their credentials are filed at the courthouse and things like that in order for that to happen. Well, some folks have, of course, suggested that maybe Lutheran pastors and congregations stop doing weddings, but instead only bless marriages that have been done at the courthouse. So, saying that that's one way around the whole gay marriage issue, and, you know, the coming, and it will come, the coming, you know, a couple that maybe wants to get married that's gay, comes to a Lutheran church, wants to get married there by the pastor, and the pastor says no. Well, then the lawyers get involved, and, you know, that's kind of expected to happen at some point. But Pastor Murby does a great job of describing why he will continue to do weddings as he's been doing them. And he says the main reason is pastoral care. He says the main reason is because, of course, he, in relation to doing a wedding, he's relating all the time leading up to the wedding as pastoral care. And, of course, that's true because there's a lot of times a lot of premarital counseling that can be done. And premarital counseling is kind of a interesting phrase, but what it really amounts to is the pastor teaching the couple and the pastor addressing concerns of the couple in a biblical, pastoral way, opening up the scriptures to them, opening up what God's word would say about a husband, a wife, about their relationship together in Christ and their relationship together as a mystery, so to speak, as St. Paul would call them in Ephesians 5. And so Pastor Murray brings up this great reminder. You know, the ceremony of the wedding itself is one thing, but there is so much that can be done in the pastoral care leading up to a wedding. And so I think it's a worthwhile thing to consider. And he also, of course, is very bold about, you know, well, you know, let's let the unbelieving world and whatever rage on. You know, let them, they, this is what Jesus said would be. So,
yes.
In the face of that, we preach, we teach, we provide pastoral care, we take care of our members, we take care of all those folks that want to be a part of the church that the Holy Spirit has called, gathered, enlightened, and is in the process of sanctifying, that we would welcome them in and take good care of them as pastors. And even in the face of threats and all of the fear that could be out there about what might happen, in the face of all that, we continue to teach and preach and even marry, according to Pastor Murby. So,
well, for some, you know, the premarital counseling is the first time where some actually sit down and study the scriptures regarding our vocations in marriage. And
Absolutely. So
I think that having that premarital counseling with the pastor is important.
Absolutely. And for some, it's also their introduction to the Lutheran faith. You know, if it's a Lutheran marrying a non-Lutheran, brings its own trappings to it, but they may, you know, be needing to know more about the Lutheran faith. They may be all of a sudden out of a desire to attend church together with their spouse, mm-hmm. wanting to join the Lutheran church, and you know, maybe not fully convicted about the Lutheran beliefs yet, but through the instruction of the Word and using the small catechism, they grow in that, and they grow and they become Lutheran. And so, yeah, there's lots of good things that can happen through that premarital pastoral care that takes place. So, yeah, some good stuff. But, yeah, it's good to think of in the face of the world that's going on around us.
Sure, yeah.
That. We've got another one in which Dr. Matthew Phillips, who's a professor at Concordia University, Nebraska, he writes a post entitled Distinguishing Between Doctrine and Life, in which he uses a couple of Luther quotes to talk about the great value there is in teaching, in doctrine, so to speak, if you want to use that word for it. That the doctrine and life have to be kind of distinguished from one another, certainly. That you know, that life and sin will go on around us, but we don't necessarily always fight about the life. You know, that these failings and these weaknesses are going to be there because all of us have that infestation of original sin, and all of it will produce actual sins, you know. But he says that Luther always, of course, stressed the teaching, the Word, and that, of course, being the greater problem is when, of course, the Word is ignored, the Word is not taught, the Word is mishandled, or the Word is twisted, sometimes even twisted, of course, to excuse sins and everything else, as we've seen in the last, 2,000 years of the Christian Church's life. So, but he has a good quote here from Luther, that Luther really truly believed that it was the job of his and the Christians to refute false doctrine and to teach true doctrine. He has this great quote. He says, "When the Word remains pure, then the life, even if there is something lacking there, can be molded properly. Everything depends on the Word, and the Pope has abolished the Word and created another one. With this, I have won nothing else than that I teach you right. It's the teaching that breaks the Pope's neck."
Mm-hmm.
And the idea there of you know, that the teaching itself will not only refute all these errors that go on around us, but the teaching also, you know, he hints at it there, that the teaching will actually help mold the life as well, which is, of course, why Luther stresses so much, as Paul did and as Jesus did, the right teaching of God's Word, that no leaven be allowed to be in that lump. He says a leaven will not only ruin the lump, but it will ruin the life. And I think that's a wonderful thing to keep in mind as we look at different Christian denominations and what is going on in relation to God's Word, that there are a number of places that really seem to be taking God's Word and just kind of putting it aside. Putting it aside because, of course, we live in a world that has got pressures like fear of lawsuits and things like that. We have a world which, of course, the devil is roaring around looking for someone to devour at all times. And, of course, we've got a world in which the enemy is within us as well, and we have an old Adam who doesn't want God's Word, not at least in the truth of God's Word. He'll be more than happy to take a perverted version of God's Word and twist it to his own devices. But so we have enemies all around us, and we have enemies within us. And so Luther rightly encourages us to be focused on the right teaching of God's Word, and that's how we would confront all of these things, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. So I think that good reminder from Dr. Phillips, reminding us of what Dr. Luther taught us about God's Word and how we as Christians handle it. So I think it's a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, absolutely. Otherwise, we've got a bunch of good articles going on about our Lutheran identity, and I advise you here to take a look at the site. There's one by Pastor Martin Noland on deconstructing Lutheran identity, and don't have time to get into it right now, but I will say that it's a great article about some of the things we see going on in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and some really good suggestions on how do we, as pastors and laity in the Synod, how do we address that? You know, how do we address, it seems like there's some that would rather not be Lutheran, and would still like to use the name, but to take the style of Lutheranism, so to speak, and change it. And he has a great article advising some good courses of action about that. So, because you can't change the style without, of course, then eventually changing the substance.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old law of belief or the law and the law of prayer. So,
lex orandi, lex credendi.
Absolutely. So, adding the Latin, that's good, that's good. Absolutely. Let's take a look at the article. It's called Deconstructing Lutheran Identity. And good article with Pastor Noland.
Very good. Check out these and other articles at steadfastlutherans.org, steadfastlutherans.org. And Pastor Scheer, we look forward to talking with you again next week.
Excellent. Lord's blessings, Andy.
Thank you. You as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our conversations with Dr. Weiss. Stick around for more of his time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.